July 29th, Blessed Peter of Mogliano, Confessor, First Order. Peter was the son of a prominent family at Mogliano in the March of Ancona. He had studied law at the University of Perugia and had already received his degree of Doctor of Laws when he heard a sermon by the Franciscan provincial of the March of Ancona. The sermon made such an impression on him that he went to the preacher and asked for the habit of the order. From the very first, he possessed a holy zeal for religious perfection and became a shining light in all the religious virtues. He devoted himself to the study of theology with such ardor that his learning was admired as much as his sanctity. St. James of the March considered him the right sort of man for the missions. He chose him as his companion, and Peter copied his holy master so closely that after the latter's death, he was chosen as his successor in directing missions. It is almost incredible with what zeal and charity Peter labored for the conversion of sinners. Like a two-edged sword, his words pierced the hearts of his listeners, and like a soothing balsam, they healed the wounds after he had removed the poison of sin in the confessional. Tirelessly, he labored in the confessional by day and by night. He possessed the special gift of putting an end to enmities. Whole towns that were armed against each other, he managed to reconcile. Like a true ambassador of God, of the God of peace, he brought peace and firmly established harmony wherever he went. When God confirmed his words by miracles, they produced even greater results. Many persons chose him as their guide on the road to perfection. Among these were the Duke of Camerino and his daughter Baptista Varano, whom we honor among the saints of the Franciscan order. Once, when visiting Camerino with several of the brethren, Peter felt that he was near death. Although he had been seized with a violent fever as soon as he got to the convent, he dragged himself to the church to receive Holy Viaticum. The Duke soon arrived and presented his two sons to the sick man. Peter admonished them earnestly, always to live in fraternal unity, and then gave them his blessing. But the holy missionary, who had so zealously fought the infernal enemy, had yet to suffer his attacks on his deathbed. The evil one represented to him that all he had preached had been a lie. But Peter asked one of the brethren to read the story of the Passion of our Lord according to St. Matthew. Immediately the devil left him. While the bells of the convent church were ringing out the Te Deum during the midnight office, Peter slept away peacefully in the Lord. It was on the feast of St. James, July 25th, 1490. Pope Clement XIV approved his veneration. On preserving peace. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, of those who bring glad tidings of good things. Romans 10:15. That could readily be said of Blessed Peter, and it was felt in the hearts of those to whom he restored peace and concord, be it in towns and families or in the souls of sinners. Peace and harmony are the sweetest good fortune of men on earth, and are, as far as we can experience it here in this vale of tears, a genuine foretaste of the blessedness of eternal peace in heaven. Hence the wise man says, quote, with three things my spirit is pleased, which are approved before God and men, the concord of brethren, and the love of neighbors, and man and wife who agree well together, end quote. Ecclesiasticus 25, 1 and 2. Do you possess this peace? Consider that peace and concord can be preserved only where an effort is made to suppress inordinate inclinations and to practice Christian charity. From whence are wars and contentions among you? Asks St. James. And he answers, Where else except from your concupiscences which war in your members? James 4:1. Because we speak without heeding the laws of justice and of charity, because we act without giving due consideration to the weaknesses of others, because we seek our own comfort rather than the common good, concord is so often injured, and bitter anguish of heart is inflicted on all who are concerned. Is it not better and wiser, then, to war against our inordinate inclinations and to preserve peace? The same mouth that can fan a flame by blowing out a spark could also extinguish it with a little spittle. A mild answer breaks wrath, but a harsh word stirs up fury. Proverbs 15:1. Have you always done your part to preserve concord? Consider that there are two vices in particular that disturb concord: pride and avarice. Among the proud there are always contentions. Proverbs 13:10. It can hardly be otherwise, for each one strives to be the first, and in that way pride awakens jealousy, anger, hatred, and quarrels. Does not your own experience tell you this? And just as the proud man wants all the honor for himself alone, so the avaricious man wants temporal goods. Hence there follow discord and strife between associates and businesses, between members of a household, between brothers and sisters. In the days of the early Christians, the hard words, mine and thine, were not known among the multitude of believers who had but one heart and one soul. Acts 4:32. Should we not be willing to sacrifice a little honor and of material goods in order to procure this blessed peace? Prayer of the Church. O God, the lover of charity and author of peace, who didst permit thy confessor, Blessed Peter, to excel in zeal for the preservation of peace, we beseech thee to grant us through his intercession and merits that we may taste the joys of eternal peace through Christ our Lord. Blessed Peter of Mogliano, pray for us.